Paul was speaking on Joseph recently. And if you remember from the time of Joseph, all of the Israelites came into the place of Goshen in Egypt. And, you know, God blessed them and God multiplied them in this place. And there was a time of famine as well. And the Israelites just saw God's mighty hand of provision in that place. So in the start of Exodus, we start to actually see that the people of God are making the new Pharaoh of the time not very happy. And in fact, the Pharaoh actually wanted to enslave the people of God. And these people were enslaved for 400 years, 400 years of captivity, of pain, of slavery. And I don't know about you guys, but can you imagine spending 400 years in captivity and what that must feel like for a person as well who has a God and they're like, God, where are you? God, why would you allow me to be in captivity for 400 years? We've been praying, we've been persevering. Why are we still in this situation? So this is what the scripture says in Exodus 1, 13 to 14. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, and in all the manner of service in the field. All the service in which they made them serve was rigor. So basically a lot of manual work for 400 years. Obviously they're not going to live for 400 years, but you know, they're going to live with the stories of the people that have gone before, a constant place of captivity. And this isn't just personal captivity, this is a corporate captivity. It's like all of us in here going to work on a building site, but being whipped real bad. And everyone knows about it. So as a result of this, so Pharaoh could see that God was blessing these people in his land. So obviously out of fear, probably partially out of jealousy, he wanted to make sure that all this growing was actually going to stop, and he was going to try to halt it. So what did he do? He was like, let's just kill off all the baby boys, because that's going to stop. They're not going to be as strong. They're not going to flourish. But the midwives feared God and they didn't do this, and God blessed them. And I think what's really interesting is that in this time of captivity, the people were being blessed. They were still growing, and God made provision for the midwives as well. But if I put myself, I don't know about you guys, if I put myself into their shoes, and we're not looking from a spiritual perspective, just in the natural sense, you would feel pretty hopeless. If that was your day in, day out, and you were oppressed every single day, you might be questioning, God, where are you? Where are you in the midst of it? You say that you are a miracle-working God, then why am I still enduring the pain that I'm enduring? Why are your chosen people in captivity? And, you know, the Egyptians are living fine, and the other neighbouring countries are fine. It doesn't make sense. And I think what's really interesting as well is that if you're looking from a spiritual sense, in ancient Near Eastern time, you would have certain deities that were over certain regions. So if one was to see that a certain region is flourishing, it would be attributed to the god of the area. Yet somehow, the God of Israel, God's people, who were to reflect God's nature on the earth and be his representatives, were in bondage and were not flourishing. So how easy would it have been for the Israelites to worship other gods? It would have been so easy. They could have gone, do you know what? I'm going to worship Diana. I'm going to worship this god. I'm going to worship the Babylonian god, the gods of Egypt, because their god is the one that is doing miracles. But the fact is they didn't. They still seek God. And how often in our times as well, when we seek God and we're like, God, can you please do a miracle? And then we look for other sort of streams to see God move and to work miracles. Even in like a worldly sense, somebody might pray to God, please help me. And then they go to the Reiki or to the spiritual healers or to different religions for relief. But I suppose the question is, why would God allow so much hardship? But even in our lives, we go through seasons and just life is so hard. And you're like, God, why is it so hard? Why am I broken down to nothing? Why have you allowed this, God? So he may be glorified. Can I get an amen, people?
Amen.
Amen. God is our comforter in the midst of trial. And I really feel like we are just in this season. So many people that I speak to, honestly, they're like, things are just getting deeper and harder. And it's like the intensity of the trial is just like, you're like, God, it's so hot. I can't deal with the heat. And I even think in the last couple of weeks that things have just got more and more intense. And even if we look what's happening globally, and you're like, God, what is going on? We're like, we cannot endure anymore. How much more can we take? God is in the business of breakthrough. A breaking through. So I think I might have mentioned it before. The Lord had spoken this word a while ago about the Bosra sort of in Micah breakthrough, that Jesus is going ahead and we're coming alongside him as he's just breaking through. And I just really feel like that's what the Lord is saying. We're in this season. We've been persevering like the Israelites. And you've just been enduring and praying and seeking God. But God's saying, we are in the season of breakthrough. Breaking through. Breakthrough! And the fact is, we need to corporately, together, push and break through the sheep gate where God has made a breach. So things have got so intense, but it's because God is going to be glorified. And sometimes out of these really difficult situations, that especially in the West, because you know we can go here for this, you know, we're definitely financially blessed, we've got lots of resources, so we don't necessarily have to have as great faith as somebody else to believe on for just essentials. But God is allowing us to be in this space where it's like, hang on now, nothing that I can do in myself is going to get me out of this situation. Nothing that we can do in our human selves, not the resources that we have, but it's only going to be God. And it's teaching us, it's building our faith, but God will be glorified. And this is going to be the foundation that when we go in our hard times, because hard times are coming, this is going to be the foundation, and we are going to remember that God has brought us through this time of trial for greater things. So now I want to speak about the God of covenant. So what would have the Israelite people would have held on to when they are in that time of bondage, in that slavery, in that trial? They would have held on to who God is. God is a God of covenant. He made a legal between God, covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. This is a legal covenant. And if God says that he is who he says he is not going to break this covenant. For those of you that went to Paul and Kay's wedding, who went to the wedding? You might have seen them making their vows to one another. And it was such a beautiful moment, but it was such a binding and important moment. You're making promises to one another that you hopefully have the intention to keep. And that is the same with God. You know, two people are making a partnership with another person for a reason. And God is the one that instituted covenant from the beginning, even with the Genesis mandate when they were to be stewards of the earth. And then with marriage, and then throughout the Bible, you've got all different kinds of covenants. You've got like the Noahide covenant, where like God and Noah had a covenant together. And then you've got the Abrahamic covenant, which is the one that the Israelites would have held on to. And this is, I don't know if you remember, like God went through the two parts of the sacrifice and he, you know, made that covenant. And I think what's so interesting is that at this, after this point, God had said that Abraham's descendants are going to be enslaved for 400 years. And they weren't even in Egypt at this point. God already knew what was going to happen to the people, even with Abraham, when he made that promise. But in his faithfulness, he made the promise that he would have many descendants and they would be a blessing to the nations in the same way. So we can know that for us, we have an even better covenant. We've got the ultimate covenant. We have Jesus. God sent his son as the ultimate covenant, the ultimate promise. I think if we're thinking, oh, but God, what if this? What if you don't look after me? God has literally made a binding contract with you that he is going to take care of. You belong to him. And he is not going to allow you to stay in that place. And if you believe he is sovereign over your life, he is going to bring you through it. And you're going to come out gold, bold and wonderful, because I haven't got another word to go with gold and bold. But there is a security in Jesus. And again, so this is the Genesis 15, 13 scripture. It says, then he said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in the land that is not theirs and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. That's what I mean. That's what God was saying years before it even happened. So if God knew about that, then he knows exactly what you are going through at this very time. And he has allowed it for a very reason, that he may be glorified. We see that throughout the New Testament. When Lazarus died, and you know, Mary and Martha, well, why would you allow that? If you come here, then obviously he would be fine. But he allowed even to death so that God may be glorified. And even in your situation, this trial where it's ramped up, is so that God is glorified when he breaks through. And you, sometimes you need something for him to break through, you know what I'm saying? And it's hard because you don't, part of you is like, Lord, I don't even want to be here. Why am I here? But God's like, it's because I want to break through and to be glorified. Hallelujah. So God knows what you are going through. And if you have made Jesus as your saviour, then God has made a covenant with you through Jesus. Throughout the New Testament, there is promises that God has made. God cannot lie. I can't emphasise this enough. If he's saying it, it's the truth. You either believe it or you don't. But the fact is, I'm telling you, it's the truth. I'm quite biased, but I'm saying it's the truth. If you believe that the word of God is the inerrant word of God, this is God's word. And if Jesus has said it, then it's true. And it's hard sometimes because you think, but Lord, you know, who the Son sets free is free indeed. We sing that song, why don't I feel free? But we are free. We're free in the Spirit. Jesus has set us free from the power of sin and death. And he will bring us through the trial and set us free in other areas of our life. But we've just got to believe it. I remember this when I was going through this really hard time. And I was like, God, do you know what? I give up. That's what I said to him. I was like, I give up. I was just at the end of it. I was like, I just give up. And I'm at Lakeside. Honestly, I was just in a mess. And I come, because I work in Lakeside, and I come out into the shopping centre. Guess what I see? I see some guy's got a top on, it says, never give up hope. I was like, thank you, Jesus. And then it gets better. Again, things were getting worse in other areas. And then I go on holiday. What do I see? A T-shirt in Spain, never give up hope. Within weeks of each other. And you think, okay, it's one thing in Lakeside because that's English. But we are in Spain. And there was somebody with the top. It said, never give up hope. And sometimes in the natural, you cannot see a way through. Like the Israelites with the Exodus and their situation. Sometimes you can't see a way through. You don't know how it's going to break open or there's a sea in front of you. But the Lord is saying to us, Never give up hope. And it's hard because everything in you wants to cry, Lord, I can't take it anymore. I'm not strong enough to deal with what's happening. Never give up hope. God is in the business of reminding us who he is. When he came to Moses and he said, I am who I am. And he is reminding us he is who he is. And in these times of hard times, we have to, I've said this before, I've done so, got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Do we believe that he is who he is? He either is or he isn't. You understand what I'm saying? God is the God of the impossible. This brings me to my next section, breakthrough, my favourite section. As you may know, obviously, from the story of Exodus, God rose up a deliverer from a very unlikely place, even lived in the palace. But God had a deliverer who he would use to set the captives free and to lead them into the promised land. God sent plagues, parted the waters, and he even sent, in his faithfulness, a pillar of fire by night and cloud by day to guide them. He gave them manna in the wilderness. If he is the God that does this for his people, the Israelites, then how much more as heirs of the promise that we are in Jesus, is God going to make a way for us? Because he is faithful. God knows the bondage. He knows the family situations. He knows the health situations. He knows, I see it, I don't know if you guys have seen, but a lot of the celebrities are getting divorced. And there's so many people that are struggling with their marriage relationships and things like that. And that's a covenant because the enemy is sending out covenant-breaking spirits between us, between our families. And that's why Jesus said, isn't it? It's either say yes or no, because there's power in our words. We can make a covenant in our words because covenant is so important to God. This is what John 10:10 says. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He's come to give us life, not death, life. We're in this season where everything is dark. You think, Lord, there's a lot of death. There is physically a lot of death, but also in our lives, you may things are not happening as quick as you want it to be. I felt the Lord say to me the other day, fetters. You know, fetters. I'd like, what's that, Lord? But I searched it up and it's like chains around the ankles. And it's like in this season, the enemy is trying to stop us from pushing forward, to try and keep us in delay in our situations, in our circumstances. Because if you are stuck in your circumstances, you're not going to move forward. You're like, Lord, I just need to deal with this business. I know that there's kingdom business, but Lord, I'm just trying to survive here. But the Lord wants to break the shackles. Hallelujah, the fetters or whatever they are. The Lord wants to break them so we can break through. And I think this is really exciting as well. If you know, you think about the full armor of God and you've got the shoes of the gospel of peace. Where are they? They're on the feet. Because it's by our feet that we walk and we take the message of the gospel. So if the enemy is trying to keep our feet bound, then we're not going to go anywhere. But we just have to push through and to break through with Jesus. And this is the breakthrough season. And you need courage. We all need courage. But we need to go in with some holy violence. Hallelujah. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He's overcome the world. But there is a peace in this season that God wants to give you, and it only comes in the secret place. Obviously, when you come here as well. But when you come in the secret place and you have fellowship with the Lord, and all hell is breaking loose, but there is the sweet presence of Jesus, everything changes And that is a peace that cannot come from circumstance. That is a peace that comes from the faithfulness and the presence of God. And then my last scripture, Matthew 19:26. With God, all things are possible. I've probably said this, but I saw it everywhere. I saw it on the back of cars, everywhere. The Lord was speaking to me about the scripture. And then lovely little Emma gave it to me in a picture. I haven't done the colouring yet at the Ashendon Fellowship. But it's just to encourage you, God is reminding us, believe for more than what we know. I don't know what you're believing for, whether it be healing, deliverance, restoration in a relationship, or for the prodigal to come home. But don't give up hope. God is in the business of doing incredible things, and he is faithful and true to his name, and he's a miracle-working God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.